Blog Talk Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what you want. And I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What grill on the cracker later?
Freeze.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Thursday night, another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap on Ship to Shore Radio. And I don't know how long tonight's show is going to be, an hour and a half. A lot to talk about. And the crazy part about it is a lot of it's football, and it's not even the season. So a lot to talk about. Pretty much every sport right now is hot. And let's kick it off. Obviously, big news, Peyton Manning signs with the Broncos. You know, I waited on it last week, and I did not see that coming. They really didn't make any sense. I mean, when you're thinking about a big guy or just any quarterback going to a team to start, you're looking for a team that doesn't really have a starting QB. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own opinions about Tebow, but obviously, you know, he went to the playoffs. I really just – all the magic he kind of, you know, had with them and all the games that they won, everything that they went through with him, what's the point if you're just going to trade him off? Which they did, obviously, after Manning signed with the Broncos, which brings us to the next news. Tebow is now traded to the Jets. It actually ended up being pretty quick with him. The only two teams seemed really interested in him, the Jaguars and the Jets. I definitely got kind of frustrated last night with the Broncos. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not in the Broncos clubhouse. All I'm hearing is the media, but As far as I've heard this morning on SportsCenter, it said that that Tebow actually had two options to the Jags and the Jets. Now, the Jags actually offered more to get Tebow, which, I mean, all along I'm thinking, okay, so why wouldn't he go to the Jaguars? He would start there. But apparently his best option was with the Jets because the Jaguars only promised him a third-string quarterback position, which would make no sense at all. I would assume that he would start there. But apparently not. So they took a little less and traded to the Jets. And it looks like Tebow will be backing up Sanchez. And even thinking about the Sanchez thing, which I'll get into this later, two things that kind of bring to mind. Tebow actually could be starting this season. Who's to say that Sanchez isn't going to be the worst quarterback of the two? But on top of that, you know, Sanchez is obviously known to have some bad games, and you could definitely hear some Tebow chants. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm just a little frustrated that he didn't get a place to start. Didn't seem like there was a lot of time and effort really put into that, but, you know, there's a lot to happen, so we'll see what goes on this season. Obviously, another big news, which, you know, I kind of have a pattern. I talk about NHL at the top stories, NBA. And after half past the hour, I will definitely get into football. This is another big part of football going on. The Saints, very interesting story with them. Obviously, 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were talking about the bounty, meaning they were aiming to hurt players. And it really hit hard on them this week. Multiple suspensions. And, talking about the head coach, Sean Payton, getting a whole year without pay. suspension, a few more suspensions. I'll get into it later. But yeah, basically, they were giving incentives, paying players to go out and try to hurt players and try to hit them way more than they should, and you know, trying to be, it's really dirty play. And Roger Goodell, the commissioner, was not having any of it, and you could tell by they haven't suspended any players yet or fined any players, but they're talking about definitely at least the head guys, the captains, are definitely gonna go a little hard on them. So we'll see. There's still a lot to come. I don't know the proof they have, but they have to have something because they've already, you know, suspended the head coach. So we'll obviously weigh on that throughout the show and next week. The Sweet 16 kicked off today. I'll get into the scores later. I kind of forgot about it a little bit because it doesn't really happen throughout the week, but it did start today. I know Marquette and Florida are playing right now. there was, might as well tell you what happened already. Cincinnati and Ohio State are playing right now. Ohio State's up 41-39 with 15:44 in the second. Marquette is leading Florida 28-27 with 3:53 in the first. Two finals already. Syracuse beating Wisconsin by 1, 64-63, and Louisville taking it to number one Michigan State, 57-44. So number one seed does go down. And four more games tomorrow, and I'll get into that later on the show, and I'll keep you guys updated with the other two scores throughout the show as well. Baseball is in full swing. Spring training is almost over. April 4th is going to be opening day. Normally, I'm excited to hear that the Marlins are going to be on ESPN on opening day, April 4th, against the World Series Cubs. Excuse me, Cardinals. World Series Cubs. That's never been said in the same sentence. Anyways, Cardinals, Marlins, ESPN, April 4th. But I will actually be at the game, so whatever channel it's on, I can be on ESPN Deportes. I'm still going to be at the game watching this, though. So. Definitely can't wait. I mean, I'm a diehard sports fan. You know, football, basketball, baseball, but baseball is kind of my favorite sport, so the Marlins have a sick team this year, an extra playoff spot added. So I'm really excited about that. So moving on to my next segment. Really quickly before I do that, I also want to say that through half past the hour when I start talking about football, I have a lot of top plays for you guys today. I wasn't slacking at all. If you guys remember during Christmas, I had a couple shows talking about the NFL wrap-up show as Christmas time is when the season usually winds down. And I had a top 10 plays then. I brought it back tonight, so I'm going to relive those top 10 plays with you guys. And also, I have a top four that I got after, plays that were after that show that I thought would have been definitely in the top 10. But I have basically like 13, 14 plays for you guys tonight, so that should be fun. And just moving into the next segment, as you know, I like to talk about a little NHL. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, the Panthers are doing really, really good. Since I started talking about them 2-3 months ago, they've been leading the Southeast Division since they have not lost that lead. And they have a pretty decent lead so far, a 4-point lead against Washington. Winnipeg's kind of falling off. But let's just talk about the overall standings. In the East, the New York Rangers with 99 points, Boston with 87, Florida with 85. Those are your division leaders. Boston and Florida, not high in points, but with the division lead, they have the top three spots right there. The Pittsburgh Penguins with 98 points. They're actually a point away from getting the top spot in the Eastern Conference behind the New York Rangers. The Philadelphia Flyers at number 5 with 94 points. The New Jersey Devils, 89 points. At number 6, Ottawa, 84 points. At number 7, and the Washington Capitals, 81 points at number 8. So those are your top 8 in the playoffs right now with still some games to go. Still looking up, Buffalo, 1 point behind. And Winnipeg, is 5 points behind. So those are your Eastern Conference standings. And in the Western Conference, still St. Louis leading the way with 100 points now. They're leading the NHL with 100 points. Vancouver, 95, and Dallas, 85 is your top three. The Red Wings at 93 points. At number four, Nashville. At number five with 92 points. Tie with them is Chicago with 92 points. And 7-8, you have Colorado with 85 and Los Angeles with 84. Tie with Los Angeles, but not having the tiebreaker. It's Phoenix with 84 as well, so they have a chance. And so San Jose and Calgary have 82, so they're still in the hunt. I'm not sure the exact amount of games left, but there's less than 10, I believe. Yeah, it's about 10, 11 games left. So winding down. And, you know, I remember for the Panthers, they haven't really ever been a great team, and I never really watched too much hockey, but I do watch that playoff hockey. I think it's fun. Same reason I really don't watch soccer. It's just kind of low scoring sometimes, but I am rooting for them. And I'll definitely keep track of them. Next week, we should have a better feel of how they're doing. A couple more weeks, and it'll be playoff time. Moving on to my NBA segment of the show. Usually Thursday nights, not too many games going on. There are six games on today, four finals. Indiana goes into Washington and wins 85-83. Boston goes into Milwaukee and stops their six-game winning streak and win 191. The Clippers and Chris Paul going to New Orleans, where Chris Paul came from. And New Orleans actually gets revenge, 97-90 against the Clippers. Golden State and Houston. Houston wins pretty big, 109-83. And the two scores going on right now, both in halftime, Utah at Sacramento. Utah's up 58-48. And at halftime, Memphis in Portland. Portland's up 49-44. So let me just check out the standings for you guys. With the Eastern Conference, Chicago leading the way, 39-10 record. Now, Miami's three back, but it's not, it's just, I mean, it's three games, but it's not that bad. They just haven't played as many games. They're only one back in the loss column, which is the all important loss column. It says three games, but if Chicago loses one more game, and, you know, then basically, you know, we still control our own destiny, so that's all that matters. Miami three games back, though. Orlando, 8.5 games back, 30-18. Philadelphia, number four, 26-21. They're still leading the division. Who everybody picked? The Knicks or the Celtics. The Atlanta division of Philadelphia has only a half game lead now, but Boston is right behind them. The Knicks have been playing decent as of late, five straight. Five of the last 10. At number five, in Indiana, 27-18. They're having an impressive year. Atlanta, 27-20. Boston, at number seven, 25-21. And the Knicks back in the eighth spot last week. Milwaukee had the eighth spot. This week, New York has it at 23-24. Still a losing record. A very inconsistent team. I told you guys a week, it was the last show, I think, when D'Antoni quit the team. And with their new coach, they haven't lost. They won five straight. So from what I've been watching them, they've actually been playing more defense instead of trying to outscore everybody. I believe yesterday against the Sixers, which was a big game for them, which they won, they held the Sixers at 11 points in the first quarter. So if they can get good defense, there's no Lynn sanity going on, but Lynn has still been a big part of their offense, and he's still playing at a very high level. So the Knicks, I still are my favorite to be in the playoffs versus anybody else below them. Milwaukee only a game and a half behind them with 21-25 record. Cleveland 17-27, and everybody else is just having a horrible season. in the Western Conference. OKC, no surprise, they're still number one. I'm going to be saying this every show. 35-12. San Antonio, which is still surprising me, but they're not going to lose that second spot, I don't think. They're kind of creating a lot of space in front and behind them, so they look like they'd be stuck there. The 3.5 back of OKC at 30-14. The Lakers, 6 back at 29-18. They're playing very well of late, 6-4. The top four with Memphis is number 4 at 25-19. Those top four teams that I mentioned are all 6-4 in the last 10. So, playing all right. Dallas, who have been playing really great basketball late, but they're doing well in number 5, 27-21. The Clippers are the team that kind of been struggling, 4-6 in the last 10, lost 3 straight. I'm not really against hard teams. They're still a new team, so they're going to have those kind of games. Even with the teams that Heat had assembled last year, they still, they had parts of the year where they just didn't look like themselves, which is going to happen to a new team. But obviously, all the news is coming out and blah, blah, blah. What's going to happen to them? They're not going to do anything. I'm sure they're going to have, I'm sure they're going to figure it out and start winning some games. There's too much talent on that team for that to happen. Yeah, so the Clippers are number 6. Denver, number 7, 26-21. They're tied with the Clippers. And Houston, a half game behind those two, 26-22. Utah, 1 game back in the playoffs. Phoenix, looks like they're 2.5 games back at 23-24. Minnesota, 3 games back. So all definitely in striking distance. And Portland, 4 games back. Golden State, Sacramento, New Orleans. Don't think they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs. And I'm actually going to get into the stats for the season. I was going to do that last week, but I didn't. And also, after the stats, I'm going to get into just a couple. I was going to tell you guys about why a couple players haven't been in the NBA this year, which I'm sure a few of you know already, but it's still crazy. I can't find it. Give me a second. All right, your point leaders for the NBA this season, Kobe Bryant. Gaining up, and he's up there in age, but he's taking the crown from Durant so far, 28.7 points per game. Obviously, Durant right behind him at 27.6. LeBron James, 27.2. Kevin Love, who I think could be the MVP this year if they start winning some games, but obviously that's kind of building the MVP package. He's fourth in the NBA in scoring at 25.7. Russell Westbrook, also top 5 with 23.8. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are the top two, the top scoring duo in the NBA. It was Wade and LeBron for a little bit, but Russell Westbrook and Durant have been on fire lately. They definitely have a great combination going on. Rebounding, Dwight Howard, 14.8 rebounds per game, nearly 15 rebounds a game. I mean, when you look at the stat board, it seems like he does, but it's just insane. Kevin Love, yeah, Dwight Howard, I think they played the Heat last week and beat him. He hit more rebounds than points. He had 24 points, 25 rebounds. It's insane. Kevin Love right there behind him, he's being overshadowed by Dwight, but still can't ignore 13.7 rebounds a game. Andrew Bynum, 12.6 per game. Chris Humphries for the Nets, 11 per game. And Blake Griffin for the Clippers, 10.9 rebounds a game. Assists, Steve Nash is having just a monster year. I kind of compare him to Kobe, two guys that have honestly been dominating their position the last few years, and they're getting up there in age. I know Steve Nash is for sure, but I looked up how many assists he had to the next guy. He's blowing it. I think it was Rondo was number 2, and he's blowing him away. Per game, he's only a half assist a game ahead of Rondo, but total, he's just blowing him out of the water. Steve Nash, 11 a game. Rajon Rondo, 10.5 per game. Jose Calderon for Toronto, 8.5 per game. Tied with him is Chris Paul for the Clippers, 8.5 per game. And Ricky Rubio, who is out for the year, has 8.2 per game, so he still fits in the NBA in assists. mediocre percentage. It's kind of mind-boggling, but Tyson Chandler is absolutely dominating this stat at 69%. Andrew Bynum, more than 10% away from that, is 58%. Dwight Howard, 57%. Nikola Pekovic is at 56% with the T-Wolves, and Marcin Gortat for Phoenix is 55%. These stats, seems like I'm just being repetitive, but they are interesting. Anthony Morrow leading the free throw percentages in the NBA at 92.6%. Ray Allen, 92.1%. Jamal Crawford, 91.5%. J.J. Redick for Orlando, 89.8%. And Chauncey Billups at 89.5%. We got four more stats to go. I think they're interesting. Mike Miller for the Heat, surprisingly leading the NBA in three-point percentage at 49%. Steve Novak for the Knicks at 48%. Manu Ginobili for the Spurs, 47%. Ray Allen, no surprise, his name on the list, 45%. And Stephen Curry at 6 for Golden State with 45%. Blocks, Serge Ibaka is having a huge year, over 3 blocks a game. Jamal McGee, 2.5. Dwight Howard at 2.2. Tied with DeAndre Jordan at 2.2 as well. And Andrew Bynum with 2 blocks per game for the Lakers. Serge Ibaka had a triple-double early this year with blocks, so he's having a huge year. Steals, Mike Conley, 2.5 per game. Chris Paul, 2.4. Ricky Rubio, who I guess has entered for the year, but he's still on the leaderboard, 2.2 per game. LeBron James on the list, 1.9 steals per game. And Paul Millsap at 1.8. And the all-important turnovers, this is actually a stat you don't want to be leading, but Deron Williams is leading it with 4.1 per game. John Wall, 4. Kobe Bryant, 3.8. Russell Westbrook, 3.8. And Kevin Durant at 3.7. So those are your stats. Leaders so far for the NBA season. No, I did not calculate it. I just went to NBA.com and looked it up. Surprise, surprise. It's like, well, yesterday, the leader has been Gordon at 45 points. It's pretty peace. Josh Smith, 17 rebounds. And, yeah, just real quick, I don't know all the players, but I know the main players, Kenyon Martin and Aaron Brooks, both played in China. I watched a little bit. I don't know the entire story, but obviously the lockout, it's a shortened season. The lockout happened, and everybody kind of went overseas to play. Well, everybody came back except for everybody that played in China, which the two main, like I said, Aaron Brooks for Houston and Kenyon Martin, I believe he's still with Denver Nuggets, went over there, but their clause was you can't come back. I don't know. I don't know the exact punishment or whatever, but they can't come back, so until the season's over. You know, all the other players, obviously, yeah, there's a lockout, and the season should have started by now, and there's no season, but in the back of everybody's mind, you know, the season could start, and you need to be ready if that happens. But if you're not doing anything, you might have to go overseas and play. Well, everybody else, you know, signed short-term contracts. Well, if you went to China, which apparently they did, they were kind of held sort of captive until the season was over. I believe Kenyon already came back, but I haven't seen him play yet. Aaron Brooks is, I believe he's still in the playoffs with his team. But they had a section about him on ESPN, and he likes it, though. But I'm sure he can't wait to get back. And that's why they haven't. That's why they haven't played. It's kind of hard. You don't notice it when you think about it. Like, where the hell have they been? It's just kind of funny. But it's definitely a cool experience for them. Last week, we were talking about the trading deadline. Derek Fisher was one of the main headlines on that. He was traded. Lakers made a lot of moves. He was actually ended up being traded to the Rockets. Ramon Sessions came to the Lakers to kind of replace him as a point guard. And a couple people thought that he would, I guess, waive the no trade clause, something like that. I don't know. His name isn't slacking, but basically, his contract was bought out, and he could sign with anybody but the Lakers, and he ended up signing with the T-Wolves. So I guess it was a little sadness that he left the Lakers, but he is now with the Thunder, excuse me. And, you know, obviously it's not a bad place to land. They have a great shot at definitely being a title contender this year. From what I've heard, Raymond Sessions is playing very good for the Lakers. Lakers are actually been turning it around. I think they're the best team in L.A. As for the Heat, they're playing good. They just haven't, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those teams that even though they haven't really had the top spot all year, we're only talking a couple games here, but they really haven't had the top spot all year, and still, everybody's favorite is the Heat to win it all. Just because of what they did to Chicago last year, really isn't a change in teams. I think it'll be the same outcome. But hopefully the Heat can keep winning. I think they will have the top spot at the end of the year, which is very important. You got to have the home field. You don't want to take any chances. Don't make it any harder than it has to be. Just quickly updating the games. 7:25 left in the second half. Ohio State winning 58-53. Ohio State is number 2, basically number 6 Cincinnati. And halftime over there, it's Marquette. The number 3 Marquette playing number 7 Florida. Florida's up 36-30. And that's pretty much it from NBA news. Really quickly on the tournament. I have the times and the plit and who's playing, but let me see what channels are playing on to give you guys a little TV update. Looks like all the experts have their top four part of their final four picks. Everybody's got Kentucky. Most people have North Carolina. Big news on North Carolina. Another star player definitely is hurt, so it's questionable if he comes through. And the president obviously had his bracket, but can't remember if he. I actually did okay. I was one behind them in the first round. I had Florida State going to the championship, so not winning it, but going. So my bracket's kind of shut. Well, I don't know the channels, but tomorrow, the rest of the four games play. 7:15. It's the first game. Xavier, number 10 Xavier playing Baylor. Number 3 Baylor, and also 7:47 Ohio, 13 Ohio, playing at North Carolina, the number 1 seed. At 9:45, number 4 Indiana, number 1 Kentucky, rematch of that exciting game earlier in the year. And NC State and Kansas, number 11 NC State versus number 2 Kansas. Tomorrow, I haven't updated my bracket. I mean, I don't know who I'm really competing against. I'm competing against one person, but he had a lot of crazy teams playing, so I don't know. I think only one reporter has Florida going to the Final Four at like 15. They're looking good, though. So I'll keep you updated with the games. Throughout the show. I'm just looking for
Anthony coming out. Stoudemire drives down a lane, stripped by Wade. Wade coming, looking to push. Alley-oop to James! A great pass and an even better finish.
They convert turnovers into offense better than anyone in the NBA. Stoudemire cannot drive into traffic.
Did you?
Time for my stat of the week. Now, 99% sure about this stat. Xavier is number 10 there in the Sweet 16. This is their fifth straight appearance to the Sweet 16. And my lovely favorite stat here, 14 straight home victories for the Heat. They have one of the best home records in the NBA. They've won the last two at home. I was happy to go to one of those losses. Just saying. All good. Those are my two stats of the week. Also, four Ohio teams are in the Sweet 16. There are two finals, though. Maybe there's not anymore. Oh, no, there still is. Ohio State, Cincinnati, one of those teams will be knocked out. And Ohio, I believe Xavier is Ohio as well. My geography is horrible right now. Hold on. I hate when I catch myself. Just double checking my math. We have give me 1 second. I know Cincinnati, Ohio, and Ohio State. Any other teams? Well, I guess Zedman is stumped right now. Call in if you know the answer to that one. That is my trivia question for the day. What's that fourth team? Oh, sorry, geography is horrible. I hate those special teams. I think it's Xavier, but I'm honestly not 100% on that. So I guess, I mean, I'm not going to sit here on Google for like 20 minutes looking for it. So hopefully whoever calls in, if anybody does, I will definitely ask that question. Well, as promised, it is time for my NFL segment. I haven't really talked too much NFL in a while, but there's so much going on right now with the NFL. Just it's craziness. I'm not really too happy about any of it. But, I mean, let's guess we can get started with Tebow. Is the big news. It's kind of all the talk is about Manning, and as soon as Manning got traded to the Broncos, and they left Tebow, now that all the news is about Tebow. There's been no news about Manning in the last 2 days. It's all about Tebow, which it hasn't been in a while, so I'm allowing it. But it's just, I don't know how to feel about this. I kind of went off instinct yesterday. I was kind of upset. Well, I was really upset with John Elway and the Broncos to be totally honest with you. Just I thought it was very unprofessional the way that they went about it. Basically, you have a guy with, you know, who is the most talked about guy in the NFL. Very lopsided with how people feel about him and his potential and his talent. There's no question that he needs work. But I'm confused. And he's not a right quarterback, but mixed with who he is as a person, I just really I'm stunned to see how quickly he just got traded. I understand that their plan was, once they got Manning, was to just play Manning. That's cool. We have to trade him. But it just seemed like they only took a couple of days. They didn't really give. I mean, when you trade somebody off in a couple of days, how much opportunities are you really going to find to get him a starting job? And they didn't even find him a starting job. They ended up getting two options, and both were going to be a backup to somebody. And he went to the Jets. Now, I'm just saying, you're mixing three bad things at once. You're mixing Tebow already getting enough publicity and media. Then you're mixing him with New York media. And now you're mixing it, him being a backup and playing for the Jets. And the Jets are already in the media too much as it is, because they're a horrible team. And it's just because nobody can keep their mouth shut. Rex Ryan's always talking. Everybody at Darrelle Revis, everybody in that whole team, it just seems like such a mess. And you're throwing Tebow right in the middle of it. And I'm not surprised. I knew that Tebow wouldn't be offended. He was on the radio today and on ESPN. Totally cool about everything. I mean, he's like, oh, you know, I'm just so blessed to be a part, or to have the opportunity to play for such a great city. We'll see how it unfolds. But as of right now, just the whole way it went down. One thing that I was mad about yesterday was that they didn't get anything back for him. The Jags were a possibility. They were the really only other team that seemed interested in that I thought actually might happen. But from what I heard today was that the Jags were offering them more. One thing that was trying to be settled was the $5 million that he was owed from the Broncos for taking them to the playoffs, and they didn't want to pay it, which was causing controversy yesterday. The Jets had the trade done early in the morning, but they didn't want to pay the $5 million, which was, I guess, unsaid, but in the contract. So it kind of got washed away, and I thought that they weren't going to settle. But apparently, they paid half, $2.5 million of Tebow's five. The Jets did, so the Broncos paid the other 2.5. And it was just, they just traded a couple draft picks. I believe they gave him a fourth and a sixth round, went to the Broncos, and the Broncos gave the Jets a seventh rounder and Tebow. The Jets apparently were offering them more. The Jags were offering the Broncos more for Tebow. And I'm instantly thinking, go to the Jaguars. Like, you're going to get a starting job, and you're going to live close to Gainesville. What could be better than living in a quieter town as Jacksonville and getting caught up in the city of New York, which is a million teams? I just thought it wasn't really his style of location and playing. I don't know. It just didn't seem right. But apparently the Jags didn't have a starting job for him. They, from what I heard, only had a third string. That's where he was going to be if he would have been there. This doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you fighting so hard to get somebody if you're just going to put him in third string? But whatever. It's already done. Peyton is in the Denver Broncos, and Tebow's with the Jets. So now we know. Now there's no more Manning, no more. It's going to be Tebow talk, but everything's kind of settled down. We're just going to wait for the draft to start, see where everything happens and lands. So that's what it looks like. My theory is that Tebow will, I think, end up playing for them. One of two things is going to happen. Well, I mean, there's always injury possibilities, but you're talking about a guy named, first, talking about Mark Sanchez, who I think the nickname Sanchez has kind of gone away, but if he has a bad game, which he will, if he throws a couple interceptions in the game, which he will, he's going to get a lot of heat. And then he's going to get the entire crowd and New York media begging for Devo. Because even if they don't like him, they're going to want him to play. It's just human nature. And human just, they want to see Devo on the field. And I think eventually, unless the only thing that this could help Mark Sanchez is it could motivate him to step up and play better. And if that happens, then he's good. But if it puts a little pressure on him and he fails, and I can see Tebow. I mean, who's to say that Sanchez is even better than Tebow? At this point, he probably is. But give it a year, and if Tebow can still get better without playing, which he might have to be if he's not going to be on the field, I think, you know, you can see Tebow starting. But they have, I believe Sanchez has signed a 3-year extension, so a lot of things are going to happen. I think it's interesting, but I just feel bad for Tebow. He's such a nice guy. But we'll see. Apparently, he was working with the Broncos, and I guess he chose the Jets, which I guess if the only other option is you going to the Jags and being a third string, I can't imagine being a third string quarterback in a 2 or 3 win team. Doesn't seem right, but he is with the Jets. He's going to wear that gangrene. And we'll see what happens with that. The Dolphins, another NFL news. I don't know what they're doing. Everybody's freaking out. They have a plan. I don't know what that plan is. No, I haven't opened up 5 beer cans and chugged them, but it kind of silenced out my drinking, huh? But anyways, yeah, you can tell 2 weeks ago, they had everybody and possibly Peyton Manning. And instead of having Peyton Manning, they obviously don't. And they have David Garrard now, I'm assuming as the backup to Matt Moore. And no Brandon Marshall. He's gone. He's to the Bears, where we really didn't get much for him. And I heard Yamari Bell is also off the roster too. So I don't know what they're doing. I still think we have a talent. You know, I don't. But we have to get some players. We have the draft coming up. We have the 8th pick. The 3rd top quarterback, who I looked at the depth chart of the top players in the draft rankings, and this Ryan Tannehill from Texas A&M was ranked 12th and the 3rd best QB behind the top 2 picks, which is obviously RG3 and Andrew Luck. So saying the Dolphins are going to try to get him. So hopefully this – the top 2 are already kind of set. So 3 through 5, or excuse me, picks 3 through 7, hopefully they're not looking for QB, because if they are, you know, it could cause some problems. Last year, tons of quarterbacks were picked. I think it was the 8th pick was like the Vikings when they picked Christian Ponder, who I think it's like the 5th or 6th, or probably the 5th quarterback that in the draft is kind of crazy. So hopefully the Dolphins can get him. That seemed like that's their plan, but we still have Reggie Bush coming back and Daniel Thomas. And I still think even without Marshall, we still have a decent receiving core, but I think we need to get a couple more players. But if we don't get a quarterback that's going to do anything, Matt Moore's good, honestly. I like him, but, you know, he played okay last year, but we're not going to make the playoffs with him, especially without Marshall as well. So it's not really looking good for the Dolphins. But I sit back and I think, though, the Marlins, on a non-football-related subject, are going to have a killer squad this year. The Heat obviously have a killer squad. And the Panthers, looks like the Florida Panthers actually might make the playoffs this year. So I guess the Dolphins can slack for a little bit while the other teams in Miami win championships. So we'll see what happens. But not looking great for the Dolphins. All right, so let's talk about just a really quick update. Ohio State looks like they're going to pull away. They're up 69-59 against Cincinnati with 2 minutes left. Second half is underway. 15-33 left in the second half. Florida's up 6-40-34 on Marquette. And I just wanted to be precise. I'm now moving into the Saints topic real quick. The only thing I wasn't 100% sure on is all the suspensions going out. There will be more, but this should be it. I'm on the subject. I might as well get the I know Sean Payton, the head coach, is gone for a year without pay. I'm just browsing to see the suspension before I get into it. I mean, I think it's huge. The Saints themselves were fined $500,000 and stripped of a pair of second-round draft picks and one in this year's draft. The two draft picks for next year. Saints owner Tom Benson cleared of his wrongdoings after they concluded he did not know about the bounties. Saints quarterback, Drew Brees, wrote on Twitter, "I am speechless. Sean Payton is a great man, coach, and mentor. The best there is. I need to hear an explanation for this punishment." You know, the Saints still haven't signed him. So, I mean, there isn't any talk about him moving. But definitely, the Saints are done if they don't re-sign him. But, I mean, everything's kind of pointing to they will. He definitely wants that big contract, and they were kind of they wanted to give him a mediocre contract, $15 million a year, instead of the $20 that he thinks he deserves, which he does. So that's just something to think about. Roger Goodell weighed in. If you don't already, I kind of talked about it in the opening section. A few weeks back, we were talking about the news was that it just came out that the Saints had a bounty, which means that they were aiming to hurt players on the field. You tackle a player to get them down on the ground, stop the ball. But the Saints wanted to do more than that. They wanted to hurt players. And that's just wrong. It's one thing to play hard to win a game, but to possibly take somebody out for the career or the season, it's a lot of money and, their families, and this is people's dreams that they're playing in the NFL, and you can't sit there and to injure them is just, it's just really bad. So yesterday it came out that they were now punishing them. I don't know what evidence that they have for this, but they apparently do have enough because, like I said, they're already handing out suspensions. There's a few more suspensions, and I wish they could just list them, but they want to have a huge story. I got to read through it. It's been going on for a few years now. Roger Goodell said, "Let me be clear, there is no place in the NFL for deliberately seeking to injure another player, let alone offering a reward for doing so. Programs of this kind have no place in their game, and we are determined that bounties will no longer be a part of the NFL." So, we'll see what happens to that. The players have not been fined or suspended yet, but there will be some fines and stuff associated with them. But the coaching staff obviously being hit hard today. So that's that on the Saints. Too bad I can't have Adam Scheffler on the line to explain things more deeply to you guys. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. And the NFL draft is coming up pretty soon. And it's about the way, April 26th. And it's 3 days, and it'll end April 28th. And speaking of drafts, I think the Zen Man has a huge draft on the 31st of March for baseball. Doing a big league again. If anybody is listening in and wants to join our fantasy baseball league, please contact me and let me know. There's money being put into it, so if you want to play for money, it's going to be fun. So just let me know. We have 6 already. We're trying to get at least 8 or 10. All right, still on the topic of the NFL. Like I said, I was going to bring out my top 10 plays. Just kind of was in the mood to. I already have the top 10 from last year, but I thought I'd bring it back. It's been about 3 months since I've had it on here. It's a little segment. It's about, I don't know, 10 minutes long, maybe. All right, so without further ado, I'm gonna probably miss a couple plays that you might think should be on there, but I have them as like a not an honorable mention because they're kind of above these plays. But here's the top 10 plays as of the time that I had it on, which is I think December 23rd. But I will have some more plays that I actually have after that and in the playoffs after this. So here's my top 10. Enjoy. Of the season, and with that, I'm going to kick it off, and I'll let Devin Hester bring you my 10th best play of the season.
What a punt by Malone. All the way back to the 18. But another good return by Hester, crossing the 40, and again it's Malone, who had a hand on him, couldn't get him out of bounds, and Hester will.
Just one of many return touchdowns for Devin Hester. He did break the career punt return touchdowns total this year. And he still got a lot of life in him, so who knows what that record might turn into in a couple of years. But that was the 10th best play. It was Devin Hester and his punt return for a touchdown. Just a great, great play. And, you know, I could have put in all of them up there, but that was just the best, I think the best one he had. I think he came into that game questionable. As you know, a lot of players have been kind of questionable all year, but they've been playing. And I thought he had an ankle injury that game, and he still managed to, you know, to run past everybody. I just don't know how he does it. But here is my 9th best play of the season, brought to you by Torrey Smith, Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens.
Smith wide right, Reed wide left. Flacco again protected well to the end zone. For the touchdown by Torrey Smith. And there's a flag down at the 2-yard line. With defensive interference, that will hold up. And with 8 seconds left, the Ravens will conclude a 92-yard drive with a touchdown.
That was a huge, huge play. I mean, that won the game for them. And that was the game. It was the second game they won against Pittsburgh, which gives them the tiebreaker. So, very likely, just with 2 games left, I mean, obviously, it's very possible they could tie them. So, if that happens, they have the first. They have the tiebreaker, and they will, you know, it's the difference between probably the second or first seed in the wild card. So, it's, you know, between the second seed or fifth seed, which is going to make a big difference in the second round if the wild card team, whether it be Pittsburgh or the Ravens, advance, you know. Well, actually, we'll know, and it'll be the first round because the division winners play at home no matter what. And chances are whoever gets that fifth seed, whether it be the Ravens or the Steelers, are going to have a much better record than the fourth seed, which will probably be the Denver Broncos. And they're going to have no choice but to play on the road. So it's definitely – and obviously the next other team gets a first round bye. So it's – I know it's a lot to talk about, but that one play changed all of it. So that was the ninth best play of the NFL season, brought to you by the Zen Man. And here is number eight. This is brought to you by Cam Newton and his first touchdown of his NFL career.
On the third down, here comes the blitz. Newton puts it up. He's got a man, and he completes it. Steve Smith is going all the way. Touchdown, Carolina. 77 yards. Cam Newton's first touchdown pass of the NFL.
Yep, that was Cam Newton's first touchdown, and it was just history from there. Him and Steve Smith have been on point all year. It's amazing how you can get that much chemistry in such little time. It's amazing how fast he's growing, and he's got, you know, a solid 15 more years to grow, and who knows what he can turn into. So I just thought it was really great. Here's my number seven play. This is an 80-yard touchdown for the Houston Texans. Kind of sums up their season. As of late, it's kind of been a little shaky, but it's really, you know, it's not really bad play. I mean, it's bad play, but it's also bad just happenings to them with, you know, their first two quarterbacks being injured. Obviously, Matt Schaub, the big injury. But even Matt Leinart obviously was good enough, I think, to save their season and still keep, you know, they have a very all-around team. But now they turn to T.J. Yates, and they're still a good team, but it's tough to say. They haven't been playing great lately, but they still have had a great year, first playoff appearance, and I think this is the best play they had all year.
20. Schaub rolling right. Schaub throwing, has a wide-open Jacoby Jones, and he has a lot of room. Jacoby Jones goes all the way on the first play of the game.
Yep, first play. It was against, I believe it was against the Bucks. The Bucks had a horrible season, but still a great play. Jacoby Jones had to fill in with the injuries of Andre Johnson all year. And it's good to see the supporting cast really picking it up for the Houston Texans. Matt Schaub was the quarterback then, but he is no longer because of the injury, and hopefully he can come back next season if, you know, I think that the Texans are one of the upcoming teams. But here is my number six play, and I'm proud to announce it is from the Miami Dolphins. It was last week, as a matter of fact. This play kind of represents the play itself and just the game he had, period. And here it is, Reggie Bush.
Play is the fullback, and Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins. Reggie Bush bringing 76 yards.
Great blocking up from Incognito,
yes, sir.
With a break, and then forcing Jarius Byrd to miss on the back end. Reggie Bush, it's the kind of running we saw.
Play is a high.
And that was play number six. And that was Reggie Bush, 203 rushing yards. That's the fourth player to do that this year. And for a guy that has been there, I mean, it's you know, there's opinions on everybody, but obviously it's fair opinions that he may not be big enough to be an every down back, which the Dolphins have. That's it for the show. I'm going to leave you now. I promised you guys my top 10 plays. I gave you the bottom five. And here is my top five plays. And this is a guy that's kind of got my attention this year. Victor Cruz. Here it is.
Manning on 32. And the pass is caught for a first down. And Victor Cruz breaks free into Eagles territory. And he's still going. Victor Cruz is in for the touchdown. 74 yards.
That play was epic on so many levels. He basically cut across. He caught the ball a guy was on the defender was behind him trying to tackle him, and a defender was in front of him trying to tackle him. They both dove. If he would have stayed there, he would have sandwiched, but he decided to do a little stutter step to the right, and the defenders hit each other, fell to the ground, and he just ran in and did his signature salsa touchdown dance. And here is my fourth best play of the NFL season. And it is brought to you by the first game of the NFL season, and it was Wes Welker. Check it out.
And that right there. And that's a head scratcher from that close, from a half yard out.
Low percentage throw as well, Mike. And Henny's got to give his receiver a chance.
Well, there's Brady out of the gun from the half yard line. Why not? So Wes Welker. Wes Welker pulling away. And he ties an NFL record with a 99 yard touchdown.
Oh, my.
How many guys throw it out of their end zone in an empty backfield?
As Don Meredith said when Tony Dorsett did it, 99 yards and a half.
I hate to put a... Yeah, that was the first game for the Dolphins. And as, you know in a certain point of the game, and the nail is firmly hit on the coffin, and that was it. And here is a play I had played for you earlier, but it's worth showing twice. And this is at least the third best play. This is the Zen Man's third best play of the NFL season so far. Here it is.
As a quarterback in the NFL where he's actually played in the game and thrown a pass.
Donald Brown breaking free initially. And Brown off to the races. Donald Brown down the sideline. He's gone. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
No flag. Put it on the board.
Still a great play. Just, all love for the Colts. Glad they won a game. It's very embarrassing to go 0-16. Detroit Lions. Yeah, the Detroit Lions did that a few years ago. And saw people coming into the stands with bags on their heads. Not good. But here is my number two play. Take it away, Matt Prater.
On the left hash. Matt Prater from 51 yards out for the win. The kick is good.
If I thought anybody was going to listen for a solid 45 minutes, I would have just put the entire ending to that game on there, but that just kind of sums it up for you. And a big win against the Bears 2 weeks ago. And this play was amazing. It is my number one play of the NFL season. It's a guy from Arizona, Patrick Peterson. And just listen up, and this is a tremendous play to win the game.
Good high kick. Peterson looks around. Backpedals, takes it at the two. Trying to get outside. Turns it upfield. Patrick Peterson gets by the punter. Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it for the Cardinals. The incredible rookie, Patrick Peterson, with his third punt return for a touchdown this season. That one, 99 yards.
Well, that was my top 10. Obviously, that was a recorded clip that I had about 3 months ago, but still brings back good memories. Nothing better than the NFL season. That was also potentially a lockout too, but everything started on schedule, luckily for that. And like I said, there is still, I believe I have four plays. I don't have any particular order, but here are some plays that I missed because it was, plays that happened after the top 10 that I made. So here's one of those plays. Here is... obviously, the Jerome Simpson play had to be in the top 10, right?
With his hands! You'll be seeing that one the rest of today, into tomorrow, the entire week. It's one thing to leap over a guy. It's another thing to finish the flip on your feet.
Well, you don't get style points in the NFL, but that ought to be worth eight. I just hope the league doesn't.
Yeah, it's some of those plays you kind of have to see, but that was amazing. And here is, I think, my all-time favorite run of, is Marshawn Lynch 2 years ago for the Seahawks against the Saints. But this is a very similar type run for LeGarrette Blount this year against the Packers.
Now first down for Tampa Bay. They needed that completion to Ben. And now they get a good run from Blount. He won't go down. LeGarrette Blount, what a run. One of the best of the year, LeGarrette Blount, all the way, and he broke tackles at every step. Wow, what a run by the second year back out of Oregon.
That is unbelievable. Initially, Desmond Bishop, 55, is right in the hole for what would have been basically no gain. And then there's five or six guys that have a chance to make a play on him. And that's just pure effort right there by LeGarrette Blount. A big back, 6 foot, 250 pounds worth. That resembled Marshawn Lynch last year in that playoff game.
Yeah, it's a good play for him. Doesn't really sum up the season. But to do it against the Packers is pretty cool. Bucks had a terrific, horrendous season. But here... Yeah, it has three plays, not four. But here is, I do, you know what, I said four, so I'm going to have four. But here is the third, and here's the third play that I missed. And, I missed this one. It was in the Super Bowl. Here's Manning to Manningham.
Four-man run. Eli throwing into traffic on the sideline. They're going to roll it. Along the sideline, they're going to spot the ball at the 50-yard line.
This is absolutely brilliant. If he makes this play, let's watch his feet. Clean catch. I think he got him.
Yeah, that play was amazing. Last time they were in the Super Bowl, obviously, David Tyree. Can't say enough about that entire play. That was kind of the game changer, and this time it was too. Manning to Manningham. And that's all I have for NFL. I hope you enjoy my top 10 and my top three after that. The top three were, I guess the Jerome Sensen wasn't really. Oh, I did have a third play. I had a fourth. Well, I had a fourth play. It was going to be this awesome play I have in a minute. I guess I didn't upload it, but I will have it before the show's over. I have to have this display. Just give me 1 second. It has to happen. All right. It's being uploaded. I have about 20 minutes left, so it'll definitely be ready to use in a couple minutes. I wasn't sure if it was 4-3, but all right. But like I said, I would have at least four plays. I'm going to have five plays now because this is the fourth play. But, hey, it has nothing to do with football, does it?
Mike D'Antoni won't call timeout and let the Raptors set up their D. The crowd on its feet here at the Air Canada Center. Lynn puts it up.
Guys, I'm just addicted to insanity. It has been a reality. I gotta bring it back somehow. But that was actually, I just played that because I forgot your fourth play, but it will be coming up shortly. I had to play it. But going back to the NBA just for a second to keep you guys updated on the scores. Like I said, Indiana beat Washington, Boston beating Milwaukee. Hornets beating the Clippers, Houston beating Golden State. Those were the four that are already final. The other two in fourth quarter, Sacramento up 1 point on Utah, 96-95. And Portland up 1 point against Memphis with 4 minutes left, 2 minutes left in the Sacramento game. So, that's actually some pretty close games going on there. So, if you're looking for some excitement and you have those games, tune in. But while the last play is loading, I just thought I'd check in on the Marlins. I guess you can call this my South Florida Sports Update. Starting off with the Marlins, like I said, April 4th, opening day against the World Series champs, Cardinals. And it's pointless, but to really list their scores in preseason. But they've lost quite a few lately. I mentioned a few of the games last week. They lost today, or they're tied today with the Braves 5-5. Last Monday, they beat the Mets 4-2, daylight savings. Then they lost to the Red Sox 3-5, tied the Braves again. They just like tying the Braves 2-2. Then they beat the Rays 4-2. Well, they beat the Mets 3-1. Then they started losing. They lost 0-5 to the Cardinals, tied the Nationals 1-1. Lost to the Twins 2-5, lost to the Cardinals 2-4, lost to the Astros 4-7, then lost to the Rays 2-3. And then off day, then they tied the Braves. So they have a few games left. They play the Cardinals tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Play the Red Sox on Saturday, then Sunday against the Rays. Looks like Sunday will be televised on MLB TV, Fox Sports Florida, MLB.com, all that good stuff. Monday they play the Tigers. Tuesday they play the Nationals. Then Wednesday they play the Astros. Thursday they play the Cardinals. Friday, Saturday they play the Nets and then the Mets. And then it turns into April. And like I said, in April, they have two exhibition games against the Yankees, which will be televised everywhere and will be in the New Orleans ballpark Sunday and Monday, the 1st and the 2nd. Then the off day on Tuesday, then they start Wednesday at home against the Cardinals for a one-game series with them. Just the Heat news, like I said, the standings have not changed in the NBA. At all. They're still second in the East, but very, very, very likely. I mean, they're right there to get the top spot. So let's hope that they can get that. If they're just this close and there's so much at stake, the Heat, it's not. If they're the best team in the NBA, they just have to do it. They have to get the home field. You don't want to take a chance. I mean, they're right there, but you're giving them a chance, obviously, to take that home field. So you want to. If you're the Heat, you got to get the home field. MVPs, I think, kind of unrelated to this South Florida Sports Update, but just thinking about the Heat, I think LeBron James is in line for the MVP this year. But obviously, Derrick Rose, very, very likely as well. If I had to pick somebody and I was just picking, I would pick Kevin Love, what he's doing and giving that team a chance. The numbers he's putting up is ridiculous. Obviously, Dwight Howard could even get a mention, too. They had a pretty good year, and him staying in Orlando and the numbers he's putting up is just monstrous. Just talking about Florida, there's no the only team left in Florida in the tourney is Florida themselves. They're up 10 points right now against Marquette. I keep wanting to change that score, but Marquette keeps missing every shot. They missed three in a row. All right. Florida has both. So they're up 10 with 5 minutes left, so hopefully they win. I mean, I'm not a huge Florida fan, but I kind of got raised to root for every Florida team, so I'm rooting for them. I have, like I said, had Florida State going to the national championship, but, they've been so impressive this year, and they couldn't even beat Cincinnati, so that kind of screws up my entire bracket. Like I said, the Dolphins, nothing awesome about them. They just keep dropping good players and they're not signing anybody. I thought they were going to sign Matt Flynn. I know he's questions about him. He didn't really play much. You're backing up Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. But that last game that he played in the season, yes, it was against Detroit's defense. Yes, it was the last game of the year. But, yes, he did also break, like, three records, two of those records being touchdowns and passing yards. I mean, it was, he had, like, 480 passing yards and six touchdowns. It was amazing. But Seattle signed him, so obviously Dolphins can't. So I don't know who the Dolphins are going to get. Hopefully they can draft Ryan Tannehill. It seems like their best option at this point. I don't know who else would even be available as far as free agents. So nothing awesome about the Dolphins. And like I said, the Panthers have a four-point lead in the Southeast Division. Still holding under that third spot with the division lead, so hopefully they can close it out. There's about 2 weeks left. Well, about I believe it's like 81 or 82 games. Well, it's got to be an even number. But I think it's like 82 games in the NHL. And they've played about 70, so winding down. And with that, I have about 14 minutes left. And really quick, I believe my play has its... Let me refresh. Here's my final play that I did not get to play, which I'll be playing right now. This would be your main man, Tim Tebow, in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. Best play I've seen all year. And in honest top 10, I think he'd be a part of four or five of them. And this is kind of sad to see that all the Tebow magic will be gone and lost from the NFL season. I'm sorry, but you gotta. Even if you're not a Broncos fan, it's just something about Sundays. Tebow just really brought some magic, and this was the best play that happened all year. This actually was in the playoffs. Everybody doubted him. Everybody said that he didn't belong in the playoffs. Well, here's what happened. First play of overtime.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Stiffer's going off and you ain't run. They win it on the first play of overtime. The new rules. You got to score six on the first possession to close it out. They do it on the very first play.
Just a tremendous play. And just, you know, it goes to show Tebow's winner. You want my standpoint on Tebow. You know, you can't teach confidence and perseverance in winning football games. That was something he was born with, and he's clearly brought to the NFL. He's been doubted at every level, and, you know, he succeeded. So, I mean, so his stats weren't awesome. Well, stats are stats. You know, I watched pretty much every ending in every game that he, you know, won last year, who didn't. And he won them, you know. He won the games. You know, maybe they should have been ahead by more, but at the end of the day, I don't care if they won by 1 point or 10. They got a W for it. And, you know, I just think, you know, all that he needed was just to keep starting for another couple of years. And now the fact that he's going to be riding the bench for such a weird team like the Jets, I feel bad for him. There's plenty of teams out there that could use Tebow right now. And it just seems like they're such a great story that we all just wanted to see how he would do, giving him two or three more years. And this is kind of just delaying it, throwing off everything and messing everything up. You know, I hate all these people that hate Tebow. Like, what did he do? He just shows up and he tries. Like, it's not his fault that he's part of every newscast, or he was at least for like a month or two, 3 months. You can hate his play. You can say he's a horrible football player. That's fine. But, you know, he's just going out there and doing his job. He's a humble guy. He's confident. He just does everything that he can. He just wants to play football, and he's had success. So I hope that he can continue that success. And, you know, we'll see what happens with him down up there in New York. So who knows? And just really quick, I got about, I have about 10 minutes left. I'm going to finish it up really quick. I just want to give shouts out to my girl, Alexis Ramos, and her intramural team for FIU. I came to watch her play because she wanted me to, and I'm actually glad I came because she put on a good game, came back, and they won in the closing seconds. So they're going to the intramural championship. So good luck to her next week. I'll try to make sure to catch that game. But shout out to her as requested. And with that, just my final thought. I kind of already had my final thought about Tebow and everything. But I guess my final thought should be about the Marlins. It's really, I haven't really thought about my final thought. My thought is thinking about my final thought. That makes any sense. But I can always talk about the Marlins. I'm really excited about the year. I get to go to like 20, 25 games. Excuse me. I'm really excited about that. I actually get a parking pass as well. It's going to be really awesome. I am a diehard Marlins fan. I'm a diehard Heat and Dolphins fan as well, but I just love the. I have yet to see the Marlins ballpark from the inside. I pass it almost every day. It looks beautiful. And I can't wait to see it at night. So there's a couple more opportunities before April 4th. But April 4th probably will be the first time I get to go see them in action. They have a great team. It's just from a professional standpoint. Their pitching is great. My only request from the baseball gods is just to keep them healthy. Injuries are so stupid sometimes. They just throw up all your plans. And the Marlins have really been through a lot, and I've been through a lot watching them play the last few years and being somewhat mediocre. So hopefully, I know that Hanley doesn't want to move over to third base, but to be honest with you, it's going to take, with adding Reyes and a couple other players, it's really going to take the load off him. And I think without him having to work all this extra hard to try to get the team to win games, he's not going to get injured as easily. Josh Johnson, the same thing. He doesn't have to win every single game for the team to be successful. He can kind of just do his thing, and I think the rest of the starting rotation will take care of themselves. So with that, I'm pretty stoked about the new season starting. It's 2 weeks away. And I can't wait to see him. And with that, I've pretty much said everything I need to say. Next week, I'll probably be talking about the same stuff, but, obviously stuff that happens additional to it. We'll talk about the Saints. I get next week to see if there's any new fines or suspensions associated with any players. Like I said, Tebow might be big news this week. The trade already happened, so we don't really know. There's nothing new is going to happen, I guess, with that. And obviously, the Final Four will be set next week as well. They're currently, this was great about the tournament. There's currently, well, because two games are finished in the Sweet 16, there's currently, three games finished. Ohio State ended up beating Cincinnati. So there's 13 teams left in all of basketball that have a chance for the title. And you have a team like Ohio that is a nobody, but they're one of the 13 teams left. Not Missouri, who was favored by even Obama to make the Final Four, but Ohio is left at number 13. It'd be cool to see one of those teams do good. So I'm always rooting for the underdogs, but I am kind of rooting for Florida. They're number 7 seed, so even for them to make it to the Final Four would be amazing. They're taking care of Marquette. They're up 6, playing good ball, so hopefully they win. And tomorrow we'll finish it up, and it'll be just the Elite Eight. And tomorrow is Friday. So then I believe Saturday and Sunday will be a whole new set of games just to pick the Final Four. And then I believe next week they'll decide that. And I believe Monday will probably be the championship. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think that's how it works. Usually it ends up being number ones, number twos, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And with that, I'm going to say thanks for listening, guys. I always love having an hour and a half long shows. There's nothing more than just talking sports. And hopefully next week will be full of such exciting sports news as this week. And just make sure you join me next Thursday night at 11 o'clock. It'll be another edition of the Sun Devil Sports Rep. And with that, I'm going to say good night. Good luck to your final four picks. And I'll see you next week. Thank you.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What grill on the cracker later?
Freeze. Has it done it? Play back!